podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Mark, you're back. You made it. You survived your family trip.
I don't know. Check my pulse. Did I make it? Check the... I made it. Thousands of miles, five kids, a dog. I don't want to leave the dog out. A dog.
Were there any fights along the way?
Yeah, actually.
That's what I always worry about with that many kids, that they start to squabble and then it's out of control. It's just a melee.
And it's like, you're right too. And it's like a surge. It starts to slowly build. So as parents, you can see it coming. Like you can see it building. It was going was a lot worse, like leaving for the vacation than coming back. We had traffic. So there was a point where we were stopped for 90 minutes on 75.
Oh my gosh.
90 minutes.
And it's you mean just slow go?
No, like stopped, like in park.
What?
Yeah, they shut the highway down. So that gets, listen, even adults would have a hard time with that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, the one thing is like on trips like that, since, you know, adults can't drink cocktails because you're driving.
Right, of course.
You have to be loaded with snacks and just everything and ready to go. But it was
somebody in that car has some blood sugar issues. I'm quite certain.
Oh,
so
man.
You have to tend to those.
Through the roof, right? Through the roof. I mean, we're throwing everything out. But yeah, you start with like the healthy foods. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you're just digging for the most junk. So you could just anything to make you happy. Anything. So you start with oranges and you end with like combos and all the stuff in between. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was... It was tough, but they did pretty good. And actually, the whole trip was relatively technology free, which was great because we're up in the mountains in North Carolina.
Oh, good. So everything was shut down.
Everything was shut down. Like once in a while, you could get like a little bit of a signal, but it was great with the kids and their iPads because they couldn't. And of course, the first night they're kind of looking around like, so do we get like, so we give them like chill time on the iPads at night. Like they get like 10 or 15 minutes and it kind of just.
Sure. You know, they just kind of do their own thing and
you know, like one of them will read, the other one will play a game, the other one will look at sports highlights. So they got their own thing. It's like 10 to 15 minutes, and I call it chill time, but it's wind down. You know, they couldn't do that there. Mm-hmm. And for the first night, I think they were kind of looking around. But once they figured out that when you're up in the mountains, every second of every day, you're just going.
You're ready to go to sleep then.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. You don't need your chill time.
They don't need it.
And nature does it for you, sets your circadian rhythms the right way.
It does. And I'll tell you, and the one thing is in the morning when they woke up, they felt even better because they were getting more sleep and better sleep and everything.
I bet.
And the parents were happy, too.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah,
and I'm glad y'all made it back.
Yeah, man, I made it back. It was great. It was a good time. It was a good,
all
good
right.
time.
Yeah. Well, we left off and we were getting ready to see what would we do about sleepovers. And as a mom to a child who's only one, I'm like, my gosh, it's terrifying to think about letting my baby go to somebody else's house. Obviously, it's not going to happen at this age, but that age will come along. I think back, and I think I did it about age four or five, I remember sleeping at other friends' houses.
Wow, you were out early.
Is that early? I guess so.
Well, or that I'm just way too conservative.
No, but I think things have changed. Nowadays,
How old would you let your daughter, like looking now? Now, things may change. She's one.
So she's one now. I mean, it would really have to be someone I knew, like more than just... Oh, this is a friend she met in preschool or elementary school. It'd have to be like a friend of the family, like people who are almost like family to us that I know how they run their household. Then I would be up for it.
My son Tyler's 11 and he just did his first.
Right. Okay.
Now, my wife always says that she's way overprotective. Mm-hmm. And if that was the first, you know, he was the first.
Sure.
And she is a little overprotective, but I probably lean a little more to that angle as well as being a little more overprotective. He had a blast. But the thing is the rules. So let's say you're hosting the sleepover, which we've never done.
Okay.
Okay. But what are the rules? So if you're going to have a sleepover on a Friday night after the kids go to bed, you know, I work crazy hours. You work crazy hours. We get up at, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So like Friday's a big cocktail night for me and
my
wife.
Absolutely.
Kids go to bed. We turn on a movie. We're outside with the neighbors. You know, we're cracking beers. We're pouring cocktails. But I feel like if you have somebody else's kid at your house...
I'd have to be a little more responsible.
Well, what's the rule? Is there no drinking?
Know. Right.
Is there no drinking? Is there two drinks? Is there four drinks?
Mm-hmm.
Is there six drinks? I mean, like, where does it end? And here's the other thing. What if the parents asked you, like, are you guys going to be drinking? Because I think...
Those are good questions to ask.
Don't you think? Uh-huh. But then they're also weird questions. Because if somebody asks me, are you going to be drinking? I'm like, what's the right answer? Because if I say no... probably a lie.
Right.
Or I'll just have to take the night off drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But But is it being selfish that I probably wouldn't want to take the night off drinking?
I know. So, hey, son, we can't host a sleepover today because Daddy needs to have a couple Mick Ultras.
Here's the deal.
Or whatever. I don't drink beer, so I don't even know the names of beers.
You don't drink beer?
No, I drink a ton of wine.
Oh, a ton of wine? That would be a good name of a beer, actually, a craft beer called A Ton of Wine, where it gets you the same buzz from just, but it's beer. What about your fiance?
Same thing. We both drink wine.
So you're wine people. Mm-hmm. Of course,
I know,
you would
that's
do
what I'm
it.
Trying to picture.
You would do it, of course, if your daughter really wanted you to do it, but you wouldn't want to do it every week, right?
Right. No, I'm trying. Oh, I was looking at it like, should I tell the sleepover person, the parents of the child who's coming to sleepover, by the way, how do you feel? We have a couple glasses of wine, especially
so you would
on a
be
Friday.
Honest. Okay.
Yes. And
what if they said we're not comfortable with that?
Then I would say, okay, and then we would just sit there and be irritated and talk about what weirdos they must be, right?
No, then it's like, you might as well get up, right? So if that happens, you might as well get up the next morning and go to work, right? Because like you're playing by all the rules, which isn't what Friday's for.
Yes, I know.
See, why this podcast is not for parents who have it all together.
No, because they know the answer.
No, because I'm sure there's people like, well, I don't drink or I would never drink around a kid, you know, which, okay, I guess that's super responsible and super like, you've got it all figured out.
Right.
But there's not everybody's like that.
I know.
But then I would be somewhat, and I got to be honest with you, I was somewhat concerned that what's going on at that house.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I know these people a little bit. My wife knows them a lot better.
Well, I've got a really more invasive question to ask, but I think you almost have to do this. Do you say, hey, do you have guns in the house? Mm. I mean, that's a touchy thing, right?
Well,
but that's my whole thing.
And where are they?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who has access to them?
Right.
Yeah. Who has access to them? And then I read this thing.
That turns into a political question in today's day and age.
God, I'm so stressed out now. See, and you're right, because then they're kind of like, yeah, so what? Are you judging me? It's my Second Amendment, right? And then all of a sudden you're,
Or then they're like, no, do you have guns? That's terrible.
But
Get rid of them.
What if they said, yes, Roxanne, we have guns. And by the way, who did you vote for in the election? Like, what if it gets all crazy sideways like that? And all this start is you're just wondering if the parents are getting drunk. And then
and being responsible.
Yeah,
right.
And then something else, and I read this, and it, honestly, I never thought about this, and I do think this is really good. How well do you know the siblings of the kids?
That's key.
Think about it.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because that's what I've read is we try to think as parents that we have the greatest influence over our children, which we definitely do have an enormous influence. But I read a study that siblings have more of an influence on who you shape out to be than the parents do.
Totally buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just say that because the bird's eye view of watching kids grow up together. They're way more influenced on a daily, if not hourly or quarter hourly basis, because they're always with, especially in the summertime.
Oh, right.
Right. They're with each other. And it's funny because kids in mine are really close in age. Well, the middle three are very close in age, obviously. They'll go from, hey, this is my best friend to I hate you.
Exactly.
Like it'll be a huge fight. And, those awful words will be, thrown around. So they are the influences. It's
passionate too.
It's very, very passionate, and but it changes so quick, you know. But so yeah, I thought about the two. I'm like, I don't really know this person's siblings. I don't really know the parents. I mean, kind of, but
right. And by the way, especially the older siblings, there's always like a mystique with them. I remember being a kid and going to my friend's house to stay the night, and then if it was older brothers or older sisters. As the younger group, you were always so intrigued, like, oh, what are they into?
Right.
And whatever they're into is a little bit, however many years, too advanced for you.
Yeah. And when I look back and I think about this, probably when I started, like when you start getting in trouble, like sneaking out and stuff like that, it was always inspired by a friend's older sibling.
Right.
Right? Either they were talking about it, bragging about it, or encouraged you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then so... I'm scaring myself the more I tell these stories and thinking back, because that's very true. It's like, it was always like, hey, do you want to do this? Or, hey, guess what we did? Or, hey, guess what so-and-so does? And it's cool and it's awesome. And here's where we go and here's what we do. Or look what we stole and here it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how it always started,
was
storytelling. It was someone telling a story, and then you're right. You become kind of, wow, you're captivated by this.
Exactly. Okay. So to look at it in another fashion, you think about, you ever hear parents of really successful athletes talk about their kids? So it's like, oh yes, the first child's good. Peyton Manning. Okay, we'll take Archie Manning, for example. Peyton Manning's really good, but boy, wait till you meet the third, the baby of the family, Eli Manning. He's amazing. And obviously you would argue that Peyton's better at this point in time, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, the parents always act like, okay, the third child picks up all these amazing skills because they've been watching the older two. But that also is held true for bad behavior. You know, whatever, if the oldest one is pretty good, but maybe does a few bad things, well, the second one learns those bad things too. And then the third one learns a whole bunch of bad tricks.
Yeah. It's like an iceberg.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. So you see what you see and you're like, whoa, impressive. But you have no idea what's under the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100 times
yes.
that.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
So I guess where we are is actually who's drinking. You know, the parents isn't really the biggest issue. There's the iceberg. The real thing is under the water, right?
Now you have to worry about what are those older siblings doing around your 11-year-old.
Yeah.
To totally scare you.
Yeah, it does. No. And then it's my son, so I feel like, I don't know. I do buy into the whole thing that you worry less about boys. You shouldn't, mm-hmm. because they cause more trouble probably
right.
than girls, or at least a different kind of trouble. But back to the drinking thing, then I was kind of like, well, how awkward it'd be if a parent was like, I would just feel comfortable if you didn't have cocktails when my kid was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, okay. I mean, I would totally do it if somebody asked, right?
Right.
But I would think it was weird, too.
That's such a strange feeling, because on one hand, you would say, okay, well, I respect your request, and absolutely. But then you'd be like, what do I look like? Some derelict?
Right. Yeah. What have you heard?
Right.
What have you heard? And when did you hear it?
I know.
Who told you? Maybe, and I don't know, maybe you would just invite them to come over and have cocktails with you. And then if they felt comfortable,
exactly.
the child could stay. Mm-hmm. And if not, the child could go. But
right.
then they were drinking, so they can't
right.
drink and drive. That's
I
a
know.
Terrible idea. Why did I say that?
And I do have some of those friends who I've had some drinks with, and she's probably saying the same thing about me, but she's such a... One in particular, she's such a lovely, responsible, got-it-together woman. But then, you know, we drink together and go, gosh, she can really throw them back. If she had children who were my kids' age, would I want her?
You would, yeah.
I'd have to think twice about it.
Yeah, well, then, you know, what if there's a fire and the parents are sleeping? I mean, there's all these things in your mind. I know. Right,
you're freaking me out.
Everybody's freaking out, right?
Over a silly sleepover, which we did 1,000 times. I have to think back. For starters, my mom was so strict. She would not let me watch any of the like PG-13 or R movies.
Mm-hmm.
So she would call the parents, find out what movie was being played. And if it was Breakfast Club, when I was in, I don't want to date myself. Okay, damn it. Okay.
So Breakfast Club. No, it's good. I sort of remember Breakfast Club. Oh,
so in any case, she would say, Roxanne isn't allowed to watch this. I had to be picked up. After the birthday cake and the pizza and all that.
Because
of the movie that was being
strict.
Screened. I know.
But were like, did you lash out later in life because of the ultra strictness?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? So I worry about that too.
I lashed out when I was 21, basically.
Really? That was your...
I waited that long.
It was like a mushroom cloud. It was just yes. all that. Yeah. I worry about that too, though. And so you can't overparent or overmanage. You know, it's sort
right.
of like a boss. Once you overmanage people...
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be there, and then when they are there, they're not being productive because mm-hmm. they're thinking about getting away, and that's not good. But it's like kids, you know, they think about getting away.
Right.
If you're overparenting and
right.
you know, you kind of burden them, and then they run away. I guess they run away. I don't know. They run away. They want to run away. Whatever.
So, oh my gosh. Okay. So speaking of running away, makes me think of running. It makes me think of all the exercise I need to be doing right now. But
right. Me,
it's
me
the
too.
Summer and I'm in the summer doldrums. So I've kind of slacked off on my exercise routine as of late. I know you're really good about fitness. And so,
I don't know about really good. It's nice of you to say.
Yes.
You're
yes.
just saying it to be nice. And I appreciate
I'm not,
it.
I'm not saying it. No, for real. No, you're getting good reviews from what I understand too, from your kids. About your physique.
Well, I'm getting interesting reviews, but you know how like the whole dad bod thing has mm-hmm. become a phenomenon, which of course, you know, in the beginning, way back, dad bods, like that was fat, lazy guys who
right.
sat around and ate and, you know, watched football and drank beer and uh-huh. did exercise. Well, I think that that's reformed a little bit, but I was reading this survey and it's interesting because when you have kids, you worry about it. I mean, I remember way back in the day, right, where you're like, oh, man, I'm in great shape. You know, mm-hmm. you're like a 30-inch waist, and you're like lifting all this weight and everything. But then you have kids, and you have to trade that in because it's just not, you know, you can't. I mean, I used to go to the gym twice a day,
right.
like back in the
right.
I can't do that anymore. So I was reading this thing online, this great survey, and they were talking about, it was an article about dad bods
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how it's come a long way. And so they asked all these women, like hundreds and hundreds of women, about dad bods. And it was like, would you ever consider dating a guy with a dad bod? And... only 38% of the survey said they would never consider it,
mm-hmm.
and the other 62% would be open, and this is what really, open or excited about being with a guy who had a dad bod. I'm thinking to myself, hey, it's pretty cool to have a dad bod now, right? Like, not bad.
So what's the definition of a dad bod?
That's kind of what's up in the air.
Okay.
So, of course, there can't be like one definition where you buy into. But, you know, look, it's not a guy with an eight pack.
I think that's what I was just starting to picture. A dad bod is more or less what you're not. You're not the guy on Men's Health where you have the six. Not you specifically.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh no, you're right.
No.
I'm never going to be on that.
You're not, Mark.
No,
I meant
Roxanne,
like
just call me fat and terribly out of shape.
That's not what I meant. The dad bod describes what a dad bod is not.
Yeah.
The definition of it is what it is not. For example, a dad bod is not the cover of Men's Health.
Right.
With the six pack.
Mm-hmm. And
sort of the steroidish looking,
That's
what a dad bod is not.
A dad bod for me is everything I was always scared of looking like, and it became true. There it is. I'm dad bod. But it's cool. I mean, you got to deal with it. I mean, I go to the gym 5 days a week, which I think is, I mean, for me, it's...
You're in great shape.
You're
in fantastic shape.
I feel good. You know, my wife and I talk about this thing now. It's like, because I'm not trying to be on a cover of a magazine, right? But maybe when I was 22, maybe I wanted to be. I don't remember, but probably did. Every 22-year-old guy does,
say,
right?
You're 20-something-year-old guy, you should strive for that.
Absolutely. And my wife was the same way. Like, you know, she used to just be berserk crazy about fitness. She'd work out 2 and 3 times a day. Well, after you have 5 kids, things change.
Right.
And we always talk about how it's not about being on the cover of the magazine anymore. It's about feeling great, feeling strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really absorbed that philosophy. And maybe part of it is as an excuse because I can't be what I was. But I still like it because I like the idea of getting up and feeling strong and feeling healthy. It's a lot more about diet, you know, and don't get me wrong, I still go to the gym and I'll go with my buddies and, you know, we'll kind of, I don't know what the word is, but we'll meet head out a little bit, I guess, in the sense of like, oh, you can bench that. Well, I can bench this. I can bench this.
Right.
And then you're doing it like, God, I'm too old for this, but I'll do it anyway for a minute. But yeah, so I don't know, but it's more about, I think, how you feel. But dad bod now, I think, is more of a culture than you would look at someone and go to a dad bod. Like, would you say that Doug, your fiance, has a dad bod?
No, I wouldn't say he's in great shape. He keeps himself in great shape. And we both sort of have the same sort of attitudes about fitness, similar attitudes. So that's nice. It sounds like you and your wife do too. So that's important for compatibility,
I think it is.
But he doesn't have, like, he wouldn't be on the cover of Men's Health.
Right.
And I wouldn't want him
to. Did he just get mad hearing that? Is he mad?
No, he totally is. Yes, he's totally offended. But I mean, I love his body. It's perfect. I tell him all the time with the utmost sincerity, I would not change a thing. And then I think too, you know, as women, more so than men, I think women, we're not looking for perfection. And I think that's the whole thing with the dad bod. We're looking for features that we like.
But
like,
at one point in your life, you were, right?
Oh, yeah. In your 20s, which is perfect.
Right, right.
Yes.
I mean, at some point, the 22-year-old.
The Adonis. We were looking for the Adonis.
The 22-year-old Roxanne, you were judging guys 99% by physical structure, right?
Yes, I was.
Because I think everybody does, right? Yeah, and so guys, they know that back then.
And in high school, it's like coolness. You're judging them by coolness.
Yeah,
right?
It's popularity.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, who is marketing themselves the best, right? And so, but after you have kids, and then you realize you have to kind of give it up a little bit, then there's this... Like, I almost think, wouldn't it be the coolest thing in the world if you, let's say if you got into the best shape of your entire life.
Right.
Being a mom.
That would be very cool.
But how almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in my mind, sometimes I think, wouldn't it be cool if I was like, I don't know, let's say I turn 45 one day and I'm in the best shape, like better than when I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I don't even know how I would do that. Like the time, the stress, like, you know,
the
at
diet.
That point you have, the dieting, the counting this, the protein and... You know what I mean?
I know. My attitude is I just try to add, like, every year that you get older, you have to make a slight change in what you're doing, whether it's working out or dieting, or you're going to get worse.
I like that. My wife was actually talking about that the other day. She's talking about there are things I just can't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we love pizza.
Right.
And it's like, dude, pizza's down to, like, maybe once a week.
Right.
Maybe once a week. We used to have pizza like 3 or 4 times a week, you know, and cold beer. And
exactly.
More pizza after that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, but she said the same thing. She's like, I realize now I'm getting older. My body has been through and what a woman's body goes through.
It's not just
the pregnancy, but my God, the delivery. And then the body tries to get itself back together.
I think it takes
weird...
a year. For me, it took about a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a tough year, isn't it? I mean, it's not like you know it's going to happen because you're going through all the stresses of this right. part,
hair
that
falling
part.
Out. Oh, my God. There's so many bad things. Yes, it's brutal. After time, things can get better. It took 9 months to do the damage, and then you have to undo it.
Do the damage, I know. Which guys get blamed for, because, you know, in the end, yeah, I get it.
But I think, back to the dad bod, I think that the reason dad bods are embraced is because women are not looking for everything to be exactly as what you would call that, you know, Adonis body or whatever. They're looking for what resonates with them, whether it's wide shoulders, whether it's a nice butt, whether it's good strong legs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you are attracted to. You have your thing that you like, and then that's what you look for. And for me, I've kind of been a sucker for shoulders, mm-hmm. and Doug has nice wide shoulders. And I told him, I go, I don't know, maybe it's something genetic, because I have really narrow shoulders. Maybe I'm looking for someone who's going to give my offspring wider shoulders. Yeah. That's my theory.
No. So dad, I think there's some like unconscious things that go on. Yeah.
So dad bods, you know, it can be whatever it is. It's just maybe having that one feature that you're really proud of, and the rest you're just trying to keep it together.
But why can't y'all just say, I love a good beer butt or beer gut. Sorry, beer gut I meant to say. What's a beer butt? I don't know what that is. A beer gut. Like, you know, every chick say, man, I like a guy with a big old beer gut. You know, he's like a sit-up. It never happens that way at all.
But so, some people like a little, you know, can be a little more squishy there. It doesn't have to be.
All right, but is it because, and I wonder about this too, is it because... There's no nice way to say it, but do you say it because you know that person will not be, not garnish the attention?
Right. You know, I think there's, sorry to offend all the male models out there, but I think there is something when you look at, this is another factor, when you look at a man who is just too perfect, you would just get overwhelmed. And you would say, oh boy, he's going to be hard to, you know, if you're,
control.
I'm trying to think of a, you know, like Matthew McConaughey is the kind of person that comes to mind as far as, you know, that rugged, you know, and he's not perfect, but he's got those looks, Hollywood looks, that you would say, oh boy, he would be hard to wrangle.
My God, Roxanne, your expectation. She's like Matthew McConaughey. No, he's not perfect. I mean, we'll use him as an example, you know, cause whatever, but definitely just a quick example. He's not perfect. See, guys, you see the problem with this? This is the deal. It's like, we got these dad bods, but even McConaughey, oh, that guy, I mean, he's lucky I brought him up. You know what I mean? He's lucky I brought him up. I'm leaving him, going right to the gym. Go right to the gym for three hours. So real quick, I did this thing kind of funny, or at least I thought it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. I asked my kids what they thought of my bod, like my dad bod. Mm-hmm. Okay. And,
you got great reviews.
Well, they were weird reviews. First off, my kids are in this WWE phase where they've watched this thing on Monday Night Raw, I think it's called, and they're into the stories and the soap opera behind it, which I think is hilarious. And to watch kids, and it's been
kids love WWE.
And when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch it because it was like trash TV kind of thing.
Right.
And I think it's a little different now, but it's still kind of this crazy stuff. But man, the kids really get into the stories. Uh-huh. Well, for whatever reason, so I recorded my kids. I asked them, what do you think of my body? Like, how would you describe my body? And I couldn't believe it. They started comparing me to wrestlers.
And they set the bar high.
Exactly.
And you stood up to it. Good.
Yeah. So here's how that sounded.
Hey, Austin.
Hey.
Hi, Austin. So you're eating dinner. Describe my body. What does it look like?
John Cena.
John Cena, the wrestler?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do you? How is that possible?
Because you're strong.
Whoa. Real strong?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Austin.
You're welcome.
All right, Charlie. Describe my body.
You look like a big fuzzy Bobby Lashley.
A big fuzzy what?
Bobby Lashley.
Is that a wrestler too?
Yeah.
Trey's gotten all these kids into wrestler. So here's Trey. Trey's five. What is my... Hi, Trey.
Hi.
What does my body look like?
Randy Orton.
Who?
Randy Orton.
All these guys are wrestlers?
Yes.
Is he like a big fat wrestler or is he strong?
He's strong.
So I look like a wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll take that.
Fuzzy wrestler.
What does fuzzy mean?
You're fuzzy. You're hairy.
Oh, a big fuzzy wrestler?
Uh-huh. And Randy Orton skinny.
Oh, he's skinny?
Yes.
So I'm a big, fuzzy, strong, skinny wrestler?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. So, I love his voice. Trey's voice is so cute.
Little Trey, I know. And so I know it's a little confusing. So it's actually, so Charlie and Austin are girls, and then Trey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's right.
It
I
gets
knew
confusing
that.
For people because
I said you're boys. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Yes. It's fine. But well, I got five kids. Nobody can keep up with anything. I can't even keep up with anything.
I'm going to get him down.
Yeah, well, so we named Charlie, and so she's our second, but our oldest girl. And then Austin, who is only about 9.5 months older than her.
Mm-hmm.
Told you we like to have cocktails and
keep
stuff.
Keep it tight.
Yeah, right. Well, and so then we were like, well, if we name Charlie is a girl, and then so we're having another girl, like we can't name her like Lisa, because then Charlie would be like, really? Like,
right.
I'm Charlie, and then you have Lisa?
So you don't want her to feel too, right, exactly.
So we did Charlie, Austin, and then but Trey's obviously a boy, but yeah, it's funny. The only one of those wrestlers I know is John Cena.
He's the only one I knew, too.
Which, you know, I think he's in good shape, so I like that.
I love that. Fuzzy.
Yeah, I'm fuzzy. Fuzzy and strong and who knows what else. But I don't know where all these wrestling things came from, but it made me feel pretty good, actually.
You should feel great.
I guess. John Cena. You know?
But you said you're on your way to the gym right now.
Well, I am. After
this discussion.
After you just took Matthew McConaughey and just wiped him off the table, and you were like, that guy, I mean, he is totally, yeah, no. But the dad bod thing, it is... It's more, I think, now of a culture than anything else. But not just a culture for guys. I think it is also a culture for moms because they realize that they are...
They gravitate towards dad bods.
Gravitate. And then I think maybe in some some stuff that I've read, some moms are like, well, my husband having a dad bod would be like, best case scenario. Like they encourage, you know, because I think at the same time, too, women don't want their guys to fall apart. Like there's an element of me where I'm like, I don't want my wife to be embarrassed by me. And she would never say she was. But I would know that I know what I would look like to make her feel embarrassed.
Sure.
And my kids, too. Like, I think it's kind of funny that they didn't describe me like I was preparing for the worst. Uh-huh. Okay. And it wasn't that bad.
No, they were very complimentary.
Yeah. Fuzzy John Cena, you know, isn't the worst. So I guess I'll take it. I don't know. So when your daughter starts to, you know, become more aware of things, you'll have to ask her, like, what does daddy's body explain? You know,
right. I'm going to have to ask her to give her critique of.
I will not allow the kids to critique my wife's body. She's too sensitive.
Right. No, that's sweet. Well, the other day I told you Evelyn Jade was trying to pick all the moles off my skin. And I just said, honey, we have a lifetime to do that.
Right.
Because she's into little details. So she will find, a little piece of dust on the floor and hands it to me. Like,
right.
So... We've got a lot. Yeah, I can only imagine, again, being an older mom, I can only imagine at what age she's going to be like, Mom, why are you so old? Why'd you wait so long to have me? Why do you have wrinkles?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be fun.
And then you can go, you know what? This is why I have cocktails when your friends come over and spend the night.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
All this stress I'm under.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again soon, Mark.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
All right.